Thank you, Dustin and Mary and choir for leading us this morning. Aren't you thankful for them? Amen. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So this is, we've been in this series for 2 weeks now. This is our third Sunday, walking through what is his church and what is his church supposed to do. And if you remember, if you're with us, we said at the beginning of all of this that we aren't trying to define the church completely in the sense that we're going to go through every bit and piece of what the church is supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. We're just hitting the high points, the most important things that we need to know and do as the church. So as we said already a few minutes ago, the church is the people who God has rescued, God has saved from their sin through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son. We can put it this way. The church is those who have depended upon God for their salvation, for their rescue from their sin through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And his church is supposed to worship him. His church is supposed to love one another. And his church, finally, today we're going to see that his church is supposed to tell others about him. Okay? So, we're going to dive into Acts chapter 1 this morning. We're going to see why the church is supposed to tell people about Jesus and what he's done for us. And hopefully we'll get our feet firmly planted on that truth. And then we'll leave and go and do just that. So, are you ready? All right, bow your hearts with me. Let's just ask the Lord to lead us this morning. Father, would you please lead us? Spirit, would you lead us through your word? Open our eyes. For many of this is a truth that we have known for years upon years. And for some, this is a truth that they live out every day. And for others, this is a truth that's unfamiliar to them. And God, we pray that you would use this truth that we are supposed to tell others about you in the life of your people here at Eastside today to make us more like you. And Lord, we pray that you would use this truth, Lord, if there's any among us or within earshot of us, that you would use this truth to draw their hearts to you today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 6 through 11, but before I do, just a little bit of background. This is the beginning of Acts, the book of Acts, that tells us the history of the church, but it's on the heels of the Gospels that tell us about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So, what has just happened right before these words that we're going to read is Jesus has raised from the dead. He is visiting those people who have followed him, appearing to them, proving that he's alive and breathing and raised from the dead. And he's about to ascend to heaven. And they see that this is about to happen, and we're about to witness the conversation between those people that were following Jesus and Jesus. So, turn your attention to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. We'll read down to verse 11. Says, so when they had come together, they asked him, that is Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So, this conversation is right before, just moments before, Jesus ascends to heaven. And he's still in heaven today, reigning. And one day, he will come back, just as the angels told them that he would come back, just as they saw him go. Before he goes, they ask Jesus a question. Jesus, is now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what they have their hearts and minds and eyes set on. They are waiting for Jesus to complete his kingdom there and then. But Jesus says, not here and now. He affirms that that will happen, but he says, look, it's not your concern. It's not for you to know the time or the dates that the Father has set aside for that to happen. That will happen, but not right now. Then he turns their attention. In other words, he says, look, this is what your hearts and minds and eyes are set on right now. But this is what I want your hearts and minds actually set on right now. And he tells them, look at what he says. Verse 7, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But, in other words, here's what I want you to focus your attention on. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So he tells them two things. Instead, disciples, here's what I want you to be doing. I'm going to give you the power to do it. My Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will be empowered to do what I'm about to tell you to do. You see that? He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then he tells them what they're going to do. He says, you will be my witnesses. Now, this is a term that would have been used in court then. It also is a term that would have described anybody that was telling anyone about anything they had seen or heard. To witness. I want you to take the churchiness out of that word in your mind for a minute. To witness, to testify in the court of law is to say, I know this to be true because I saw it and heard it happen. To witness. Jesus is telling his followers, I want you to be that kind of witness about me. I want you to go tell people that you know that what I've done, you know it to be true because you saw it and you heard it. You know me to be alive because you saw me and heard me. And some of you who doubted even touched me, right? So, you're going to receive power to do this. To do what? To tell people about me. To tell people that you know my life, death, and resurrection to be true because you experienced it. That's what I want you to do. Now, this command from Jesus to these men and women is foundational for who we see ourselves as the church and what we see ourselves about as the church. In other words, when we see the church gather in the book of Acts, the people of God who were saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, in the Bible, what we see them doing is that very thing. Telling others about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So as a church in 2019, if we're going to ask the question and answer it correctly, we have to include that. If we were to call ourselves a church in 2019 and not do that, it would be questionable whether we were the church at all. Because we're not doing the very thing that Jesus said. No, don't focus on that. I want you to focus on doing this, telling people about me. Now, I want you to look at one other thing as he wraps up his command to them. He doesn't just tell them to be my witnesses, but gives them some details about how this is all going to work out. Look at verse 8. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jerusalem was where they were. It was these people's hometown. He says, I want you to tell people about me where you live. Many of you have heard this before. This is a common teaching about missions in the life of the church. Jesus tells his followers, tell the people that you know about me, where you live, in Jerusalem. And then on out to Judea, the people around where you live. I want you to tell them too. So you could think of it, for us, you could think of it like this. Like, we need to tell people here in Cairo, in Grady County, about Jesus. We need to tell people in the state of Georgia, and even beyond the state of Georgia, about Jesus. Then he goes on, he tells something about a bit harder for these people here. He wants them to tell the people in Samaria about him, which meant this, the people that did not live like them, the people who some of them thought of as enemies. I want you to go find the people that are not like you, that do not live like you, and perhaps are even your enemies, and I want you to tell them too about me. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You guys, let me pause for a second. You guys don't have anybody in your life that is not like you, you don't agree with, and you might even think of them as your enemies every once in a while. You don't have anybody in? Okay. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, hometown, all around the hometown, the enemies. And then he says one more thing. Verse 8, look at it, the end of verse 8. And to the end of the earth. So, disciples, it's going to start here in your hometown, but that's not all I want you to do. I just want you to take the news about me, and I want you to tell everybody about me. That's his command to the church. Yes, I will complete my kingdom. But don't worry about that right now. What I want you to worry about is telling the world about me. So what is the church supposed to do? We're supposed to tell the world about Jesus. You may say, well, preacher, it's just one verse in the whole Bible. And I'll say, yeah, it is. But it's backed up by a whole bunch more. So we're going to take just a moment in case we have any doubts or qualms with this idea that we're supposed to tell other people about Jesus, and we're going to nail it down with basically the rest of the Bible for a moment. So can we do that for just a minute? All right. Lori, are you ready? All right. We're going to move fast. It's not enough time for you to get there in your Bibles, but it'll be up here on the screen. All right. So we're going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. God calls a man named Abram. He's going to bless Abram with the purpose of doing something else. He's choosing Abram to make a family for the purpose of something else. I want you to watch and see what that purpose is. God says to Abram in Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It may not seem like much, but earlier in Genesis, in chapter 3, all the families of the earth were cursed because of sin. And what God is telling Abram is that through him and his descendants, God is going to do something else. He's going to reverse the curse of sin. He's going to bless all the families or nations or peoples of the earth. Okay, you see that? That's Genesis. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23 and 24, it says, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. This is Israel getting this command. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among all peoples. See, even in the Old Testament, God's plan was for people from every tribe and tongue to worship him. Psalm 22, verse 27, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Isaiah 49, 6, This is looking towards what Jesus will do. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. That's the same language that Jesus uses to tell his disciples what they're going to do. So in Isaiah, 800 years before Jesus was born, God is speaking about what Jesus will do. He will be a light for the nations, that his salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. In Acts, we find out how he's going to do that. The way he's going to take his light to the nations is the church. You get on to the New Testament in the Gospels, Mark 16:15. It says, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Luke 24:47. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Romans 10:13-14 asks this question. Well, he says this, and he asks a question. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise God. Then he asks a question. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The answer is for someone to preach, right? And who is that someone supposed to be sent from? The church. Revelation 7:9-10, looking to the future at what will happen at the throne of God. John says this, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. See, church, we are supposed to look upward and worship God. We are supposed to look inward and love one another. But we are also supposed to look outward and tell others about Jesus. There's no way around it when we read the Bible. There's just no way around it. That is what we are supposed to do. Do you see it? So I want us to think about this for a second. Practically speaking, as a church, we're in Cairo, Georgia. We are not a huge church. How are we supposed to follow this command? To tell people about Jesus the way that he told them to tell people about Jesus. This command transfers to us. So in our Jerusalem, would be in Cairo, in Grady County. We are supposed to tell people about Jesus here in our hometown, which, by the way, is hard. I find it much easier to tell people I don't know about Jesus than the people I do know about Jesus. I worry less what people think of me that don't know me than the people that do know me and what they think of me. But we're supposed to do that. We're all supposed to tell people about Jesus in our Judea, the state of Georgia, and beyond. That's why we pray on Wednesday nights. Right now we're in a season of prayer for our state. This past Wednesday night we prayed for our college campuses in our state and the churches that are near them and the campus ministries that are on those college campuses for God's word to go out and the good news of Jesus to be heard on those college campuses and the ones who already believe on those college campuses to grow in their faith and the ones who don't believe to come to faith on those college campuses. That's also why we support the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, one of many ways we can get the gospel out in our state, not the only way. But we do it by supporting the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, which sends missionaries to those college campuses. Because we want to make sure the gospel goes out to those places, that we are actively telling people about those places. That's why we have a relationship with a missionary in Monroe, Georgia, named Pam Whitehead, who is working hard to tell the poorest of the poor in Monroe, Georgia, about Jesus. And she can't do it by herself. So we, along with many other Christians, come along beside her and pray for her and help her do that. We make sure we tell people in our Samaria about Jesus. In other words, we don't just go find people exactly like us, believe all the same things we believe, and tell them about Jesus. We're good with it being anybody. Because the church is going to be full of everybody. So we tell all people about Jesus. And we tell the world about Jesus. That's why we support our International Mission Board. That's why we have a team going to Nicaragua this summer of 11, led by Pastor Robbie, going to help and partner with a church in Nicaragua that needs help telling people about Jesus where they are. That's why later on in September, we'll have a smaller team going to Malaysia to seek partnerships with missionaries over there so that we can be actively telling people around our world about Jesus. Some object to this idea and say, why, what business do we have doing that when there's so much work to be done here? And the answer to that is simple in my mind anyway. Because Jesus told us to do all of it. And partial obedience is also known as what? Disobedience. So we do our best to do all of it in the ways that we can as a small church right here in Cairo, Georgia. But here's where the hang-up comes for us as individuals. We're going to wind up with some questions this morning that I want you to ponder. Maybe you know the answer immediately this morning, or maybe you need to take these home and ponder them over the next week. One, the first question is this, is can you testify about what Jesus has done in your life? Or have you surrendered your life to Jesus where he's actually done something in your life? Have you come to the point of saving faith in Jesus? Some of you may not be able to say anything about Jesus because you don't know what to say because you haven't allowed him to do anything in your life. Today, that can start. His grace is greater. Second question is this. Is your lifestyle getting in the way of your testimony about Jesus? In other words, if you were to tell the people that hear you talk and watch you live in your life about Jesus, would they listen to you or would they ignore you based on the rest of your life? Some of us here, nobody would listen to us if we were to talk about Jesus because they would immediately call our cards and say, well, it doesn't look like you've trusted him. It doesn't look like you're attempting to obey him. And some of us, before we can start telling people about Jesus, need to work some things out with the Lord. And just know, he loves you, and his grace is greater than even that. The third question is this. Maybe you're here this morning, and it just hasn't been a priority for you. Are you working to see Jesus being glorified in the lives of the people in your life? In other words, are you building relationships with people in your life that don't know him so that you can tell them about him? That takes intention. Our whole life can go by and we will have never told anybody about Jesus simply because we didn't try to tell somebody about Jesus. So are you building relationships with people who don't know him so that you can tell them about Jesus? The answer is no. Again, that can start today. If you don't know how, I would love to sit down with you and talk about how. I may not have all the answers, but I can help you work out some. And we can pray for one another in that endeavor. And you can get involved with some of the things that we're doing as a church for a start. What a greater privilege it is. Why don't you go back and think about that man that I talked about at the beginning of service. The man who had found bread and a wealth of other things and was living among people who needed bread and wanted all those other things, but didn't tell them about him. What a privilege it would have been to go back to those people and say, I found it. And while as a pastor, I know it's not always that simple to tell people about Jesus, but that is what we are doing when we tell people about Jesus. People are hoping for more. They want more. They are searching for more, and Jesus is more. What a privilege it is to be the ones who have found the bread of life and to be able to tell others about the bread of life. This morning as we sing, I want to invite you, we're going to sing, God, You're So Good. And I want to invite you to sing that and pray that more people would know that. Pray that God would give you more opportunity to tell people about that. Maybe you have other things heavy on your heart this morning that don't have anything to do with that. You can pray where you are. You can come forward and pray, and we'll pray with you. Or you can pray by yourself. But however the Lord's leading you to respond, we want to invite you to respond this morning. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. And Lord, we recognize that you don't want the knowledge of your goodness and your grace and your mercy and what you've done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus limited to a few, which is why you have told the ones who know about it to tell others. And so, Lord, we pray that, number one, that you would just give us the desire as your people to make you known. That you would light a fire in us to make you known. That you would give us wisdom in how to make you known. Lord, this isn't an easy task, so we need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your Spirit to lead us in telling others about your Son, Jesus. And we want your guidance. Lord, we pray that if our lifestyles aren't lining up with our message, Lord, that you would help us line them up so that we could be heard and that you could be known. And God, we pray for those in our lives that have yet surrendered their lives to you. God, we pray that they would. For the sake of your name and for their own sake, we pray that they would surrender their lives to you. Lord, help us to make you known. Thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your love for us. Amen.
Let's stand together.